What's up, guys? Listeners of the world, aliens, you're listening to The Burner Files, Episode 3. It's available on Podomatic.com and iTunes. And I'm your host, Hans.
And I'm Paul.
And today, we'll be taking you into a world of secret societies, pondering our leaders, our sense of self, and covering other various quirky and fascinating trends in our modern society. So without further ado, we welcome you to kick back, tune in, chill out, and be immersed in our world for the next hour on The Burner Files. I'm going to just get into this one right off the bop, and do an extra. I got this app on my phone, and it gives funniest, ambiguous headlines of news articles, and I'm going to open it right now. I got it on my tablet, and click through a couple, close my eyes, and this is how the show is going to start. Okay, the following headline was actually printed in a newspaper, which will remain nameless. Okay. Right. Local high school dropouts cut in half.
Wow. Gruesome.
Hold on. I don't even understand this yet. I can't be that stoned, though. I'm not even stoned.
Well, though, isn't it saying that the statistics of high school dropouts? But,
dude, I'm so slow right now. This is amazing.
Well, that's a pretty sublime one. It's pretty funny.
Local high school dropouts cut in half. Maybe I'm just getting the pronunciation wrong, but I do understand it. That was pretty cool. Let's see one more. See if we get a belly laugh out of something. New vaccine may contain rabies.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not sure I get that one.
I don't get it.
New vaccine may contain rabies.
And now it's pointing a Sony ad for the holidays.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's
okay.
Two ducks in a
row.
Dude,
these are so ridiculous. I don't even know if they're funny, though. I can't even tell if they're funny.
Well, do they have to supply them every day? So,
yeah. All right. Dude, these aren't even worth talking about.
Really?
Man struck by lightning faces battery charge. Oh, man. That'd be sick. Imagine if you were carrying your iPhone 6 and you got hit by lightning and you were just on the verge of being completely dead on your battery. And you got zapped and you had a full charge. In this day and age, I don't even think people would be angry that they got struck by lightning. And
That's true.
I think they would be stoked that, you know, it would even out evenly.
Yeah, because
they had their iPhone charged.
I mean, most people actually survive lightning strikes for the most part.
They do. But they do have those charging stations I see in the malls and stuff now for your phones. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like if you're low on a charge, you like go to the Eaton Center. And they have these places that you can hang out, like leech-free Wi-Fi, and charge your phone. They have the similar things in airports too, and stuff like that.
That's true.
Yeah, it's
that's a little bit more convenient than getting struck by lightning, man.
Slightly, except the story is less ambiguous. Sure. Another thing I'm gonna do right at the beginning is this segment where I look at my Tumblr and talk about the first image that comes on the feed, okay?
Watch out.
Letting you listeners know that I do subscribe to interesting things that may depict graphic language or sexual pictures, just to let you guys know. And it's going to be the first thing that comes up. It's loading. The colors are crazy. The tablet's going ham. It's by Lovey Dovey. Lovey Dovey Hovey.
Uh-oh.
Okay? And it's it's definitely a picture of a naked woman's butt.
Really?
Okay.
But giving, how do you know the rest of her is naked?
I'm giving you a description. It's a female in a kitchen. She's turned, so it's her back is facing the camera, and she's naked. She's smoking a cigarette and has hair curlers in her hair. And her butt seems to be covered in I think.
Don't tell me
flour. Bacon. It's flour.
Oh, I was going to say bacon grease.
And there's handprints on her butt. And on the kitchen table, there seems to be like a bowl of pasta, maybe some olive oil, some tomatoes. And that was my lovey-dovey hubby. So it was. Wow. And,
so
and
that, did that pay off? Or
she
or
retweeted it by OMG Girls. With two S's. So
okay, so this is someone you follow. Okay, okay.
This is someone I follow, mainly because they followed me. And I like to return the favor of a follow back. You know, I think that's pretty common in our day and age. I mean, it's not. A lot of people like to do the thing where they like to have more followers than the people they actually follow. So, I don't know. I personally like to keep it pretty even, you know. I think it's good. What are we rolling to right now?
What's this track? It's Quasimodo.
Oh yeah, this track's called Quasimodo. It's called Greenery. It's pretty trippy.
Yeah, let me get that purple too. That purple. Man, really don't stop tripping. I ain't got no change. It's my weed right here.
Smoking on the trees at 100 degrees. Never touch the breeze, just a sticky green leaf.
Put it in the Dutch, it gets stuck on your touch. Whoa.
Pack it in your bong, last long, have you on crush.
Light it up.
Roll it.
Pass it around.
Over here.
The scientists have found. Check the rail.
Compound.
Look over here.
Yeah, I would like that glass bong. That big blue glass one right there. Okay. $200 one right there.
I don't see it. Do you have the money for it? Where is
right there, to the left.
Okay, cash only.
Hey, man. Try some of this. It's absolute dynamite.
Man with the roster got the best green pasta. Tree trunk bud.
What that good shit'll cost ya?
Anyway, give me an ounce of that shit. I have that shit with Madlib. We could bounce to that shit. Make a batch of cookies, it'll make you feel like a rookie. Make you eat a lot. Maybe go get some nookie.
High power shit, so we could do our astral traveling.
Around the world, on a smoke tour, dabbling. Yeah. Amongst the best weed, Amsterdam and humble seeds. Weeds, 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 is what we all needs.
Light it up.
Roll it.
Pass it around.
The scientist is found. Check the rail compound.
Marijuana. The first sensations may be felt instantly after having smoked some grass, or an hour after having eaten it. Usually, you creep slowly into a stoned condition, inch by inch, sliding upward, but if you deepen it, the effects may come upon you suddenly and strike you full force in the mid.
Alright, sick. That was Quasimodo Greenery. For those who don't know, Quasimodo's. He's a serious producer. Also goes under MF Doom as well. If you like hip hop, he is A1, my friend. He's got so many crazy beats. Like the textures he uses, samples, it gets you in the mood, man. There's so much going on. You can tell just by that one song. It's varying levels and so many crazy vibes. Interestingly enough, music-wise lately, a lot of bands are they're doing this thing where they're doing like a 10-year anniversary of an album. You know, I'm 28 years old, so albums that came out when I was 18, they're ending up doing tours and different things, and it's just interesting to see how the time passes. A lot of the bands that I was into, I'm still into them now. Artists like Motion City Soundtrack, their Commit This to Memory album is 10 years old. Senses Fail, Let It Unfold You is also 10 years old. Green Day's American Idiot, that was 10 years old. Like, where is the time gone? Completely, I don't know, it's crazy. And those songs seem to still hold up to now. A Canadian band, actually, Silverstein, their album Discovering the Waterfront, which played a big part of me growing up. I remember listening to their music going in the morning at like 4 a.m. to go to the bus stop to work some crazy construction job and listening to Discovering the Waterfront and it just like hyping me up for the day. Yeah, it's 10 years old and they're actually playing at Danforth Music Hall February 27th with Beartooth and a couple other bands, which should be an amazing, amazing show. Interestingly enough, Silverstein actually practices at Paul's ex studio space, if I am correct. Is this true?
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
And you've seen them on one or more occasions.
Oh, definitely. Actually, they would rehearse quite regularly in the building that I had my space in, which, you know, Hans, you've visited many times. We've had like some amazing sessions in there.
A lot of good vibes of various sorts.
definitely. It's kind of like off the grid, shall we say. But there's been a lot of good bands that come through there, but they definitely stood out. They were very disciplined. They showed up two or three times a week. They went through their sets. They played them like all the way, you know.
Yeah, very regimented. I guess when you're in a band like that, you have everybody has to be accountable.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they were rehearsing for a tour.
Right.
So they were like spending about, I think they were there for about 2 or 3 months, something like that. Maybe actually no, a bit long. They came back on another occasion. They would basically use that space to rehearse for tours, just play the shit out of their songs, learn them to the nth degree as a band.
Yeah.
But they were tight right from the beginning too. I mean, they're outstanding.
Certainly. I'll play a little clip of Silverstein's Call It Karma. This is the acoustic version. On the weather, but I'm a mess. And this February darkness has me hating everyone. And I know I need your comfort, but this drama makes me sick. And the longer I lay here, I know it's harder to get up without you. Lose another day here, lose another year here. I'm with you, finally something out there that's making sense. And it's just another trend carefully hidden in your dress. And the cycle's never ending, and this fashion's overdone. And the further that I run away, the further I'll come back to shelter. Lose another day here, lose another year here. I'm with you. You are the fire on my apartment. 16 stories, I'd rather burn than fall. It isn't fate that took us all by storm. It's just a turn of a corn. That was the acoustic version of Call It Karma by Silverstein. And you know, was really interesting as far as bands are concerned, the leader in bands. When you think of the leader, do you think of the lead singer usually, Paul, or the songwriter, or
Well, me personally, Well, me personally, I know that it's a bit more complex than that. For a lot of people, when you see a band with a lead singer, a very strong lead singer, you're going to assume they are the leader of the band because they're the front man.
Yeah.
When it gets down to it, each band is quite different. Definitely, it depends on who's writing the songs, right?
True.
So that's definitely one determination of who might have like more of a natural leadership role.
So it's not necessarily what we see.
No, it isn't. Often you will see that, you know, a really strong frontman might actually also be the leader of the band, but it depends.
I mean, this might be a poor example, but Our Lady Peace, the drummer wrote all the music.
Okay, right.
I'm kind of undecided as far as if I like Our Lady Peace or not. They were definitely a big part of...
They're Canadian.
They're definitely Canadian. They were a large part of my grade school years. Definitely. I think I learned how to play Superman's Dead on a really shitty acoustic classical guitar back in the day. Man, that was a gnarly song though, for sure. They had a couple good ones.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, leaders. Right. Why do we need leaders?
I don't think we need leaders in every situation, but certain situations do require some sort of, well, guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's someone with a stronger vision, you know, has the path laid out. But I mean, that's pretty tricky because a lot of the time...
Or at least their convictions. They're convicted that their path is...
Exactly.
Is the right path, so...
They may not deserve that leadership role. They may have assumed it. They may have taken it on based on other...
Yeah.
I mean, there's the idea of a meritocracy. And how do you get to be the leader? Well, you earn it.
Interesting. So there's some type of process that allows your quote unquote convictions to be almost warranted or set in a higher ranking than others. Basically, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, and other people will recognize it.
But you have to do a certain list of things, and then you become like a level up, like powwow Indian or whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone else has to recognize it. It's not a case of you coercing everyone or convincing everyone based on like other...
Yeah, or else it's going to seem disingenuous.
Exactly, and people will... But that kind of leadership too, this coercive leadership where you convince everyone you're the leader and you have the power, like you have the most money, whatever.
Right.
You can throw your sway around, your clout. That's a completely different style. You have like, it can
yeah,
still
there's
work.
There's a very, very varying styles of leadership. Coercion, democracy, democratic.
Yeah,
everybody votes.
And also like leadership could be like a very, you know, changing thing. It could shift over, you know, depending on the situation. Like, when teams work together, for example,
yeah,
there's times when different aspects of that team have to take leadership. And, you know, it gets tricky because then you get into authority too. I mean, it's a big topic.
Yeah. So what you were saying is they basically work in tandem with each other, and either one team or one person would excel in one area while the other person observes or whatever, and then they switch positions.
Yeah, I think that
can
there
you get depending on the situation.
Well, I mean, yeah, exactly. And depending on the kind of structure that's in place. So if you're a politician,
yeah,
you're not really going to be into that game of sharing power.
No, do you think most politicians are people who don't want to share power but want power?
Well, I think for the most part, yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty clear. It's not something that I'm, you know, happy about, but I think that it's inevitable to observe because it's so corrupted to a degree with money.
Mm-hmm.
Politics in particular.
I mean, especially American politics.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you take other situations...
Compared to us in Canada, we are like, I'd say we're like a Bob Ross morning show compared to America, where America is similar to like a apocalyptic doomsday McDonald's triple bacon death burger wrapped in blood and fireworks.
Well, definitely in terms of the media.
Yeah.
No question about it. The commercial media. But yeah. Even then, if you go there, like...
American politics pumps so much money into the spectacle. It's crazy.
That's true. But in America, it's interesting in the sense that you can also watch, you know, there's C-SPAN. Which mm-hmm. you can, it's actually like four or five channels showing every single.
And that's in every state, right?
Yeah,
it's everywhere. Everybody gets it. It's default for free.
Exactly. And it shows every single detail of government functioning, like to the nth degree. You can watch like hours and hours of the most boring things happening. And then you have PBS, whatever.
Example.
They're not perfect, but.
I've never seen C-SPAN ever.
Oh, I have, yeah.
So what would be an example of these like super boring shit?
Well, you know, in the
is it comparable to PBS, TPO, and like? There's like a French.
This is
PBS
like it's just an example. What I'm saying is like, well, you know, C-SPAN. You could watch a committee, the subcommittee of the subcommittee of the subcommittee. You know, it's a huge country, huge government, and they just show absolutely everything. Point being,
like,
is
what
that,
though? What did you watch when you saw C-SPAN?
Well, actually, I just saw this obscure subcommittee of a Senate committee.
So it was like
some obscure shit, and they were all these people like they were working out. You know, people talk about, you know, conspiracies, whatever. Most of these people were just sitting there like doing their job, whatever, and like not planning the world's destruction.
Okay, so this was a group of people in a room, and there was a camera with a shitty mic, and you just hear like rumbling.
It was pretty well
and
produced, actually. It was pretty well produced. And if they're like, okay, we're talking about document XYZ, they'll actually do a little screenshot of the document.
Wow.
And there's a ton of these channels, and they're showing.
Do you think
it.
A lot of older people watch this? Like, because of the. Of
no
its,
one watches
of its draw?
It. No one watches it. But,
why does it exist then?
Well, because the point is, it's a counter to a lot of the media. It's a completely unbiased
it's
reporting of what happens in government. You don't get that in a lot of countries where you get
interesting.
To see. It's not. It's very, very
this
transparent.
This is the United States. It's almost the antithesis of
United
what we
States,
experience.
The United States is a country of contrasts. That's what I'm saying. Like, and a lot of the media has a very powerful effect in giving a certain impression. But as you know, like you visited places in America. I've visited quite a number of places there.
Truth.
And the diversity is shocking, actually. Like when compared to what they project out to the world, you know, it's not what people really think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't visited so many places enough to make a comment on that, but I can definitely tell you that I've felt that polarizing gap between cultures and societies. It's definitely out there, and it's definitely an interesting experience. I think right now we're going to play a tune by Death Cab for Cutie. This one's off the album Transatlanticism. In my opinion, it's their best. This track is called Title and Registration.
Searching for some legal document.
Amazing tune by Death Cab for Cutie. That's title and registration off the album Transatlanticism. Get it if you don't got it. Download it. Whatever. It's all good. Interestingly enough, we've just been talking about politicians and leaders. Have you ever heard of Bohemian Grove, Paul?
Yes, I definitely have.
Bohemian Grove. It's located in Northern California, surrounded by the Redwoods, and basically these guys, it's all male, men of power, world leaders, like Nixon was a part of this. They basically come together, party, do weird sacrificial ceremonies. It's like this hedonistic commune. I think it's 6 days to 12 days, I think they spend.
That sounds wild.
And they also talk and discuss world plans. You know, this involves very rich people, people in power in politics.
Bankers.
Yeah.
So allegedly, anyway.
Allegedly. I mean, apparently this list, the waiting list to get on here is 30 years. You see, you're trying to contain your laughter, but apparently there's a 30-year waiting list.
All right.
And, I mean, I've watched Brad Meltzer's Decoded. He talks a lot about this place. It's also been infiltrated. I believe the guy's name is Philip Weiss. Okay. It's been infiltrated twice. There are videos on YouTube.
So he snuck into the party is what you're
saying? Yeah, okay. Essentially, these people would sneak in. I mean, it's heavily surveyed and securified.
Right.
So what they do is essentially sneak in some sort of back way. And this place is so big that all these people meet and they get shipped off into this certain camps. They're buses and depending on like who you are, if you're like a banker or whatever, you have like a certain name for your camp. There's right. like the Hillbillies, which were like the Texan bankers and shit like that.
Sure, okay.
There's all these different weird names for them.
The oil people in Texas are.
Yeah, they're allegedly called the Hillbillies, but there's around 12 to 15 different of these different group names. And the people who infiltrated knew enough to say they were part of this whatever group.
So these guys are all, they're all meeting to discuss, as you say, like basically plan, like world controlling plans, apparently. Yeah,
control.
Because they own so much economic systems and power that they can. Yeah,
because they have the clout.
So they are the real leaders. The real leaders of the world, apparently.
Yes.
This is the story.
Apparently.
Right?
I mean, and I've seen.
So this Bohemian Grove, and some people snuck into it. I mean, it's not that secure, but.
There's been two documented break-ins. And then there's footage on YouTube you can see of the ceremony of that's called the cremation of care. They essentially have this like giant owl statue and they play this weird music and these cult like people come up to the center of the stage and then they burn this sacrificial, like it's supposed to be a child or something.
But wait a minute, you're not talking about Burning Man, are you?
No, this is completely opposite. I believe there's a lot less freedom in this than the actual Burning Man festivities, but there's, and no, it's weird, dude. And I watched the Decoded on Brad Meltzer where they actually had their team. They tried to go up along the road to where it was and they got busted by the security and they were like, nope, you can't get here. You gotta go. So what they did was they found a map. And they found the river system through kind of where the area is. And they canoed down this river or whatever.
Okay, yeah, good idea.
And then they got onto this one beach part that was, you know, it was close to some of the campsites or whatever.
Right.
And actually snuck in through that way. But they got busted again. And essentially they got taken with some secret service vans or whatever. And then they got... They got sent to like jail or
so. Does that mean, Hans, that we do or we do not have proof that these guys were hanging out like making world plans or whatever, or were they just having like a really wicked barbecue?
Maybe it's true. I mean, it can be taken both ways. The Wikipedia site shows a picture of like Nixon eating like a grilled cheese with like some big oil bankers and shit like that.
Oh yeah, I mean that goes on for sure. There's no doubt about it. Like that kind of hobnobbing and like back rubbing and backroom deals, definitely that goes on. And this is supposedly on a scale that's so large that it's global, right?
Yeah, I do believe that if I look at my notes correctly, which I have on my awesome broken iPad.
That is not an endorsement for the Apple Corporation.
Not at all. But it still works and it's broken, so that's pretty effing good. Okay, check this out. The preeminent camps are... So this is the different camp names and the different groups. So the Hillbillies are big business, banking, politics. Caveman are think tanks, oil companies, banking, defense. Let's see what other ones that sound cool. Lost Angels, they're banking, defense, contracts, media, Isles of Avs, military, defense. Mandalay, big business, defense, contracts, politics, U.S. presidents. It's been going on since the late 1800s. Around 1870 was the first.
They don't wear those like, it's not a furry convention thing, is it? Like, it's not like that.
I don't know, but they dress up. Dude, I'm unsure if that kind of stuff goes down. Because, I mean, they said it's like a place where, you know, you'd see like Richard Nixon like taking a piss, drinking like a Bud. You know, and he'd just get out of his cabin,
right,
drink a morning beer and take a big piss, like holding in his dick.
So kind of like a Roman, the Roman emperors like having these great orgies with like, you know.
Exactly, but there's no women.
Of wine.
There's no women, but there's wealth. Alcohol. There's no women at all. No. There's no women.
No, right there. That's strange. I'm sorry. So, I mean, in the sense that there's no women. Yeah.
That probes the question of what goes on at these events.
Well, we don't really know. It's like a source for, it's like the Area 51 of politics. Like what happens behind closed doors, we don't know.
Yep. And I'm just looking at this. It was Philip Weiss who spent 7 days in the camp as a guest, posing as a guest, which led to his November 1989 article, Inside Bohemian Grove. Actually, I watched a movie. It's called Conspiracy, and it's on Netflix. It's a similar thing. Essentially, it's a dude who's really heavy into linking articles in a big like web to mean different things. And essentially, he shows these two dudes making a documentary or whatever on this crazy guy. Like, you got to go here to essentially what is Bohemian Grove. And it's a cool movie. Not going to ruin the vibe, but definitely go see it if you're into this kind of stuff.
Right.
It's definitely cool.
All that sinister stuff and, you know, these conspiracies, and they're so appealing in so many ways, you know. But this... that kind of topic got me kind of thinking of some, I don't know, darker techno vibes, and I want to
<That's>
throw
cool.
it in this track.
What do you got to hit us with?
Yeah, it's a track by Randomer called Bring, and it's not for everyone, but this one's got some sick, deep groove.
I'm ready for it. The Interesting. Dude, I actually think this sounds, and correct me if I'm wrong, kind of sounds like if The Shining and Crookers did a collaboration.
That's a good description for sure.
Dude, that is eerie. That is super eerie, man.
Definitely, yeah.
I definitely got kind of scared listening to it.
That's
and it was good. It was a good segue. I mean, after talking about conspiracies.
Exactly.
Something ghostly and outer worldly.
Coming to get you.
Interesting.
And minimal use of sounds, actually.
Yeah, but huge sounding at the same time. Dude, I have to ask you this, and it's a trend that I've been seeing in the 20 to 30. I've been seeing a lot of t-shirts lately, a lot of t-shirts of the white and the gray and the black variety.
Yeah,
they're usually longer. They're usually on females and males from the ages of 20 to 30.
Okay.
And they're fairly minimal. And I'm not talking about upside down triangles. I'm not talking about upside down V's. I'm talking about t-shirts that say things on them. And, you know, it's always been a smiley face or talk to the hand, whatever. Each generation has their thing.
Yeah.
And I think I'm seeing a new trend in types of t-shirts, and I don't really know what to think about it.
Wow, okay.
So I was working with somebody today, and they had a t-shirt on, and it said, no filter, hashtag no filter.
Okay, all right. So an Instagram reference.
It's an Instagram reference, and I guess what they're trying to say is, like, look at me. I'm living in a world, and I don't need a filter to be the person who I am.
Right. So,
is it cheeky or what? Well, I don't even know.
I think you're right. It's saying I'm making a statement and I'm wearing it quite boldly on my t-shirt.
It's a bold statement. That's what I'm talking about.
They're advertising. They're kind of, you know, making a plea for you to consider them as being very open, very transparent. Like
I guess
it's a kind of. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
It's kind of like a tattoo. You get a tattoo, and that's going to stay with you. When you're 70, you're going to have that same tattoo. Maybe, you might, probably. I mean, I guess, you know, that's why they call them a trend. I'm not sure if that same person is going to wear that same hashtag no filter shirt when they're 70. I think they might want to filter when they get older. You know what I mean?
Well, what's? Give me another example, because I think you're onto something here for sure.
Also, no shirt. I saw a shirt and it was a nice gray shirt, and then it had that like Louis Vuitton kind of font or whatever. I don't even know, man. I'm not in graphic design, so I don't know any of this shit. But it said like "C'est la vie," and I know we're getting into like the French words. Let's talk about the French words on t-shirts, like c'est la vie.
Right. It's the life.
It's that. So I'm expressing that I'm kind of some free bird.
And wow. So that's the same, in the same way, it's the same message as the first one.
I suppose so.
In a sense.
And another one, I saw another one that was like a white shirt with black writing, and it's like artistique collective. And it's the French, it's the right. French words.
But that's,
that French words are some inherently cooler than English words?
Well, they're a bit more artistic.
Are they more artistic?
Well, actually, that's
our perception, man.
That's not even real. Artistique collective. That's not really French.
Collective with like an F.
You'd have to say le artiste collective.
Maybe it was that, but it was those words in conjunction with each other.
But I mean, it's just a fashion statement. It's not.
It is.
It doesn't even make sense, really.
I seen ones like at Zara that just says money talks. And I just, and I've seen women wearing baseball hats that say hashtag whatever or hashtag babe.
Right.
I'm just like, I don't know.
I'm gonna
like legitimately hang out with my friends and have a baseball cap that says hashtag whatever on it. It just seems, but
you know what else is going on there, Hans?
Are these people aware of what they're promoting?
Well, completely, yes, and probably. Maybe not. Like, but what's another source of this trend is that you're getting a lot of clothing companies that are cropping up. Like, it's almost as easy to start a clothing company right now as it is to like make a SoundCloud account.
Yeah,
and put out your music.
Totally.
So a lot of these
people, all subsidized.
It's almost random because you're seeing the friends of someone's clothing company supporting their clothes,
right?
Because you're not getting those in Walmart or Target, right?
I don't know if a lot of these people are actually making and silk screening their own shit.
No, they're not making it themselves. They know someone. Like, I know so many people who started up a hat company with a cool saying on the hat.
Yeah, and it seems like once there's a phrase or the latest trend on Twitter,
yeah,
it has to go on a hat or
like you remember, you know how everyone was saying bae, BAE is a short form for girlfriend, bae, your best friend, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently that means shit in Swedish or something.
No, in Dutch.
In Dutch.
In Dutch it means shit. So there you go.
I was told
hanging
that
with my bae. Right. But anyway,
with
I know
my
a guy
shit.
Exactly. It's ironic, but so I know a guy who turned around and he ordered 50 or 60 t-shirts that said hanging with my bae, whatever, in a cool script.
Yeah, yeah.
And he sold out of them in a week. But after that, he couldn't sell them to save his life. You know, it was just that.
Because the cat was out of the bag and he's actually hanging with his shit.
Exactly. So you're seeing a lot of random sayings.
These
random ideas. Right. Instead of like, you know, back then you'd have sayings like that would last like, you know, a decade or whatever that was, you know, tied to a decade. These are just happening within a week or two.
Yeah. It's like trap. It's like the longevity of trap or dubstep. It's like very pan flashy, but it's,
yeah, because
people are just
a lot
waiting
of
for the next hot topic.
Yeah. A lot of it is coming from like urban areas and like, just like a lot of,
but urban areas, I mean, what are there even any urban areas on the internet now?
Yeah, you know? No, you're right. No, but it is sort of it's happening. People who hang out at skate parks.
Right.
And they come up with an idea. It's like, you know, let's start our own skate company. Let's start our own logo. Let's start our own clothing design. Let's
I guess
because
the accessibility of the internet is so quick that the trends change quicker.
That's what it is. You can bring an idea to the marketplace.
Yeah, sell it and have it blow up, and then nobody will give a fuck about it in a week.
Yeah.
Wow. Dude, I think we got to play something pretty hype right now. I'm thinking we got to play that Sex Pistols, the Johnny B. Goode cover right now. I think that's a perfect selection. We got to do that.
This is unique. This is from their demo, so.
What? God. All right then.
It's awful. I hate songs like that.
vets.
That was sick. It wasn't awful at all, man. I wish I would have heard that sooner. Honestly, I think we need to get a little deep right now before we bounce. We're gonna get a little vibey.
Okay, right, a little right vibey. On. Right on.
Have you ever thought of you think all that you are and the identities that you have to yourself? Do you think that is what you really are?
Well, no. I mean, I think actually it's got to be some kind of mix between the two.
Are we algorithms that have freedom of choice? Or?
Well, you know...
These algorithms based on past experiences. No, I'm serious, dude. Come on.
All right.
No, it's like, okay, well, it's like, okay.
You have to explain it to me.
Let me break it down.
Yeah, you have to explain it to me. What do you mean by algorithms?
You push out of a vagina and you're very small and you're crying and you got blood and goo on you and there's a cord sticking in your belly button. You know, you're in the matrix now, bro. And at that moment, you might cry. You're going to feel certain things, hot and cold. You might not even remember it, but your body is reacting on an instinctual level on what it needs. And then years crawl past and... your parents tell you, you know, they start giving you labels.
Well, first of all, you get your name.
So that your name is what your parents want to name you. Correct?
Right. So it starts there. So these labels,
so it's
these
like
identities.
You already become a projection of them.
Right. Well, but isn't that some of the conditions, some of the constraints of like your own personal script? Like there's that you can't change those things, so but yet there
you
they
could
are
though what if there are parents that don't name their children
or the people who get sex changes or whatever.
True.
So yeah, I mean there's those conditioned, but even if you had to get a sex change in order for you to connect like your circumstances to your identity, you're still seeing two different things, like a permanent identity and a circumstantial identity that either resonates or does not.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that would eventually tell over time if both of those two sync up.
Exactly. That is what when you know you're born, you got your hand, the cards, the hand that you're dealt. That's one thing. I mean, I think that's a pretty weak metaphor, but those circumstances that you're born into, when you talked about that, like rather visceral and intense birthing process, that, well, there you are. Your name is Hans. No, your name isn't really Hans. My name isn't really Paul. But you know what? It's a pretty handy way to, like, you know, identify you. You know, you can't take it too seriously, right? It's
true.
It's kind of
that's what we
helpful
that's a
in
good
some
thing
ways
to say is not to take it too seriously, man. Because I think a lot of us take things a little too seriously. And just talking about labels, your parents instill their values that they've gotten from their parents. and, you know, they sign you up for sports in school and want you to do things, or then you start to see things that you want to do and try and experiment with whatever. Hockey, meth, the chess club,
bocce ball.
And, you know, after a little while, you see your parents start fighting and they start getting angry at each other. So you're starting to learn what anger is. And then you find yourself in a situation with somebody replicating what you saw your parents doing. And it just goes, it comes back to this really interesting point that we are none of this. We are none of the negativity, or I want to even say we are none of the extraordinary, but we're like, our trueness is pure awareness of surroundings. And I think everything that we are, that we're like, if you're like angry or whatever, I think that's not you. That's learned.
Well, Hans, I'm sure you've heard that saying. It's a Buddhist like parable, I guess. It's like, there is a mountain, then there is no mountain. And that's meaning that at the same time, that pure identity that you talk about,
yeah,
it's there, but so are the other things that are not there, but are there. It gets this kind of a paradox. So, I mean, it's like when you're self that goes through that circumstance, some of those circumstances, yeah, they'll be false, but some of them will be actually very important to forming your identity.
I totally agree with that. I think it's just having the perspective while in those certain circumstances that can shape you. Or like,
for example, Hans, why were you and I, we're born in Northern Europe. Well, actually, we're both from the northern part of the world, right? And your family goes back to Norway. Mine goes back to Scotland. So why were we born in North Europe, or, you know, our ancestry goes back to North Europe, and then we're here in Canada? Just for coincidence, or is there some aspect of that that has some kind of meaning? Maybe it doesn't. Maybe I should just love to move to Mexico and like get away from the cold. I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about that that could be potentially some part of the puzzle. Your location.
It must
that you're
be.
Living in.
It must be, because even many times when you want to escape it, and you can for the most part, but something always calls you back to where you were born, and that location, it seems circumstantial, and it is, but it seems to have some kind of relation to some, I don't know, bigger placement.
So, I mean, does that correlate to you feeling the urge to go back to your homeland?
Well, I did. I mean, I think everyone has that at some point, whether it's just even back to the place you were born or like, you know.
Yeah. Do you think we have some kind of like inner GPS homing device?
Yeah, virtually. And I think it just speaks to that thing of like, it's, you know, like that thing that you have, like Aristotle would say, like, how do you know you have something? Well, if it's about you, then you have it. In other words, if you put your jacket on,
mm-hmm.
it's around you. It's not you. You don't identify with it, but it's around you.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually like it becomes part of you in that sense. So these circumstances that we're born in life, whatever, are some sort of meaningful part of the story. So.
Interesting. I think we should play an Underworld track right now. And for those of you who don't know Underworld, you probably won't still know who Underworld is after we play this song very well. But I'll have to say.
So we're closing out the show here with this.
You have all been a great and wonderful audience this evening on the Burner Files. And we'd like you to join in whenever we got another podcast. We're going to try to do this once a week, maybe even twice a week. But we thank you for joining in. We know we love you guys. Thanks for so much for the support. Download it at iTunes and Podomatic.com.
Search for the Burner Files.
Yeah, just search for that Burner Files in the search on your iPad, on your tablet, on your iPhone, on your PC, on your Acer, on your guitar, on your headphones. You can search for it in the front yard. You might not find it.
And your Walmart gift card.
Oh, you can search for it on your LCBO gift card too. Search for it in your Radio Shack computer. You can search for it. Just go to your neighbor's house and like go to their washroom and where the pee is like under the seat. You know that part? Search for it there. You can always search for it in your community library on their internet. You can search for it in the stars. You can search for it in the light that is brung in the song. So you guys have an amazing day. Can't wait to hear the rest of the song. Walking in light, going